Hello, and welcome to Lesson 26. I hope you have been enjoying this lecture series and the topics that we have covered. Thanks to the questions that you asked, the fabric of the Hands Full program is being woven into a protocol that many of you will enjoy implementing, both for your children with special needs and for your children who are developing typically. I'd like to take another continued opportunity to thank Hamaspic in general and Nishmo Saini in particular for keeping this line going so that you can learn the Hands Full Behavior Management Program and everything that comes along with it. So this lecture is going to be a troubleshooting lecture. It is going to be the equivalent to the second session for couples when I meet with them privately to work out the behaviors of a particular child. I often tell parents that the second session is my favorite because it is during that time that parents have experienced the Hands Full Program partially, have been following it, and have tasted its results. At that time, we can tweak the program for them and analyze the usually predictable mistakes that parents are prone to make. I've gathered together some of the questions that are being asked by various mothers, which indicate that the same mistakes are being made in the initial implementation of the program, or that my description of the program didn't transmit as clearly as I would have liked it to. Since the best way to learn is through our mistakes, I am going to point each of these mistakes out one by one. I am asking Mechila in advance for pointing out these mistakes on a hotline, even though no one knows who anyone is, even I don't know who anyone is, so I believe it is safe to do so. Especially because it is so important for the rest of the hotline to hear these mistakes so that they and their children can benefit from them. The first general mistake that is often being made across the board is that it appears that mothers that are calling in with blatant mistakes seem to be missing chunks of information. These gaps of information are probably coming from skipping around either the chapters of the program, if you're learning it via a book or handbook, or listening on an audio file or over the phone. Many parents skip. I must remind you that if you skip around, you will implement this program incorrectly, and you won't benefit from the program. I often joke with my clients. I tell them, if you ask me for my recipe for challah, or for a specific sauce that I make, and I give you the exact amount of the ingredients, and the order which you add the ingredients, and then you go ahead and change the amounts of the ingredients and the sequence that these ingredients are added to the recipe, or worse yet, if you add your own ingredients and subtract some of mine, you might have challah or sauce, but you won't have my challah or my sauce. So please bear in mind that it is of critical importance that we all understand that A, the lectures of this hotline have been sequenced very carefully. You will not be able to implement this program correctly if you skip lectures or listen to them out of sequence. These lectures are purposely kept short so that you can listen to each one without a huge investment in time and that you won't be tempted to skip a lecture. Please follow the program carefully, in order. And B, this program works in stages, and not all negative behaviors get addressed at the same time. So if you're invested in this program, you must understand that there will be some behaviors that will not disappear magically, and you will still need to deal with them for a longer period of time. Remember that you cannot teach everything all at once, and your child can't learn everything all at once. Nor are you or I a magician that can just wave a magic wand and make all negative behaviors go away instantly. So now I'm going to move on and troubleshoot one question at a time. Here's the first one. You should be prepared that some, and I repeat, some negative behaviors will become reduced if you use a combination, and I repeat, a combination, of INB, ignore negative behaviors, and SWC, separate without comment. So for a mother who posts a question that says that INB doesn't work for her child, who is on the spectrum, and makes no comment about how she's also doing SWC, that tells me somehow that this mother only picked up half the story and is only implementing INB. Yes, it's true that INB alone won't do the job because over-ignoring turns your house into an unstructured Hefkewelt. Surely INB must be complemented by SWC. So here's an example. If a child with high-functioning ASD bullies his little sister into doing silly things, and then laughs at her and makes her cry, you must intervene. That's SWC. Without talking. How? You take the little girl away and don't allow her to do what the bully is asking her to do. The key is not to talk about it with the bully, not to explain to the bully what you're doing and why you're doing it, so that that child on his own gets an opportunity to figure out that this behavior was inappropriate. Likely, this high-functioning child will get upset at your intervention. That's actually a good thing. It means he noticed, which will result in a tantrum. Once again, depending on the intensity of the tantrum, you're either going to INB or SWC. If you listen to lecture 22, and I recommend that you do, but don't skip lectures, you will hear more about how repeated SWCs of certain negative behaviors are necessary, sometimes to the tune of hundreds of times, until you see results. Our caller also mentioned that this high-functioning child has no limits and breaks items that belong to other people. This can certainly be very upsetting, but it is an example of a behavior that won't be able to be taken care of until phase 3 of this program, because breaking items falls squarely under the child's lack of impulse control, phase 3, even if you think he's doing it on purpose, because the brakes of his car are missing and he cannot control his impulses in time. Lots of children get angry enough and are manipulative enough to want to and have thoughts to break other people's objects, but this child plows through the red line and breaks items anyway. So because we know that INB and SWC don't match such a behavior, and we also know that you haven't progressed through phase 1 and phase 2 of this program, and therefore you and your child are not ready to handle phase 3 on impulse control yet, all I can ask you to do as you work through phase 1 is to A, remove as many items that people care about away from public and common areas. Imagine you have an adventurous 2-year-old. Would you keep breakables around? So you shouldn't have breakables around now either, until this child learns to apply his own brakes and stop his own car. That is, until you get to phase 3 of the program, when you will be able to teach him how. So in the meantime, it would look like this. First, you will hide and lock up any items that you and your children cherish and you don't want to see broken. I know this isn't completely realistic, but do your best. Second, start with phase 1. INB when the behavior is ignorable, SWC when the behavior is not ignorable. INB and SWC cannot be done in isolation. You have to do both. You have to balance equally between both. Keep both of these strategies on the front burner of your mind so that you will be able to flip-flop from one to the other. So anything that your son does that you don't particularly like, but it isn't harming anyone else, such as chutzpah or arguing with you about how you parent, ask yourself, ignorable? Yes? INB. When he bullies the other kids, ask yourself, ignorable? No. SWC. Try to divide his behavior in your mind beforehand. Make a category list of INB behaviors and a category list of SWC behaviors. In this way, you will be pre-programmed and will be able to know which strategy to implement without using too much headspace. So, for example, if you get it into your head that all verbal chutzpah will be ignored for now, then it will be easier for you to INB all verbal chutzpah for the time being. And if you decide that all bullying of siblings is an SWC behavior and you separate the child who is being bullied, then you should keep that in mind and you will have a much easier time making a snap decision when necessary. And third, know that you cannot train impulse control without first passing through phase 2, which consists of either HOH, hand over hand, or NU, nothing until, depending on the age and developmental level of your child. And in addition, you can't move into phase 2 unless you distance your child from open and overt disobedience to you. This gets accomplished through the use of missions. So hopefully you will get the idea how one phase of the Hands Full program depends on previous phases. So you can't get a child to obey you directly until they have first learned to tolerate frustration, accomplished by INB and SWC of phase 1, and also through being distanced from disobedience through missions, also phase 1. Then, and only then, can you move to phase 2, whose goal is obedience, which gets accomplished by either H-O-H or N-U. And then, and only then, would you be able to work on impulse control and teach a child not to break other people's objects through his newly found ability to obey you and take time out or time and space when you direct him to. Too many parents jump around the sequence of phases and try time out and time and space prematurely because they are too hyper-focused on the actual behaviors and their own needs rather than on the child's sequential behavioral development. So they tell the child to take time out, that's for younger kids, or time and space, that's for older kids. And of course the child resists because after all, he never went through phase two, so he never learned to obey. And then way too many desperate parents end up restraining and locking kids into rooms for time out and time and space, which is completely unacceptable and has absolutely nothing to do with the Handsful program. So just to summarize, we don't choose behaviors to work on based on our own or even our other children's needs. That simply won't work. If you do that, you will be attempting to train your child out of sequence, expecting him to master goals that you want him to master, even though he or she has not mastered the necessary prerequisite skills to do so. Yes, I know you all have a strong need to protect your other children, and you want the negative and noxious behaviors to stop now. I understand that, especially because you started a program. You need to have patience. Keep your other children safe and patiently wait until all prerequisite behaviors have been mastered before attempting to master a goal, even if you think it must be taught immediately. Okay, here's the second question that needs some troubleshooting. Someone asked the following. How do you separate, SWC, a child who is under the age of 10 but is very strong and very heavy? He was having a tantrum and was throwing things and was trying to hurt other kids, so I tried to drag him to his room, but he was very strong and very heavy. And I finally got him to his room, and I kept closing the door, and he kept trying to pop the door open over and over again. This is an example of strategies being implemented out of order. As was clearly stated in the lectures, you never SWC the child from the negative behavior. You SWC the negative activity from the child. And you don't take the child to his room. That's a timeout being added at the wrong time. Until this child has self-calmed through multiple tantrums over phase one and learned to obey you through phase two. So I'm not sure where all of this came from. So let's replay the scene. A child is having a tantrum. You're ignoring. He gets angry and attacks other kids by throwing items at them. Now you have to do SWC. But you don't SWC him. You SWC the other kids. Usually this kind of thing happens in the early days of a program. Some people actually prepare some small water bottles, snack bags, books in their bedroom, and if necessary, hang out there with the other children, even if this angry child is banging on your door, until the child self-calms. In this way, you SWC'd everybody else if things went very south. As long as you stay calm, that's fine. You do not make physical contact with a child who is having a tantrum or a meltdown unless Khalila's safety is compromised. SWC is always about the other child or another object. And you certainly don't bring a timeout into the picture until phase three, which is in a while. Then this mother asked another question about the same seven-year-old who is obviously being introduced to our program. That's great. She claims that her seven-year-old says negative words like piggy piggy or kill so-and-so, and her cute, angelic, naive, tzaddik three-year-old is walking around imitating him. This mother feels that even though she is doing INB, the child is getting attention from his younger sibling. Okay, common question. Two answers to the question. One, I can practically guarantee you that after 40 days, 6 weeks of ignoring both the seven-year-old and the three-year-old, they would both have dropped that language. And I further promise you that neither one of them is going into their adult life calling people piggy piggy. This is an attention-seeking pediatric behavior that will likely not last even as far as adolescence. So you need to be patient. And again, don't look at each specific behavior. These behaviors don't last. Additionally, a good idea for SWC, assuming that your nerves really can't handle a pure IMB in this case, is to take the 3-year-old away from the 7-year-old and distract him or her with another activity. I and B, the 7-year-old, don't lecture the 7-year-old. Believe me, the behavior will pass. So the overall lesson here is that after 7 years or 10 years of negative behavior, one stint of ignoring is not going to make the behavior magically go away. Tell yourself, we handled these behaviors up to now. We'll handle them a bit longer without responding to them, and slowly over time, they will disappear. Okay, now comes a third question. This question is from someone who has been listening to every single class. Some classes more than once. That's what she said on her question, so that's great. Yet, she is having difficulty implementing the program. As I listened to her comments and questions, I noticed a few mistakes that I would like to correct. Our caller mentioned that she's trying to implement the program with a few children, both typically developing and some with special needs. So that's mistake number one. Very important, as said in the lectures and in all the books that I've written, one child at a time, and monitor and watch the progress of that one child. This program is not for the faint of heart. Don't rush. It's for those who understand the theoretical underpinnings of the program and believe in it. The program is for those who have the patience to work on one child at a time. And yes, you can try not to make mistakes on the other children, but don't worry if things don't go so perfectly with the child's siblings. Then this mother very clearly described two scenarios, and I'm so glad she did. I'm going to help her see where she went wrong. She described, so typical, a 5-year-old normally developing child picking her nose. No big deal, normal stuff. The 10-year-old, who is sensory and tense, comes and tells her that the 5-year-old is picking her nose and she should stop her. This behavior is a negative behavior and should have been ignored. Just no response. What would have happened is that had she not responded, had our mother not responded, the 10-year-old would have gone to the 5-year-old, done something negative to the 5-year-old, exactly as expected. At that point, the mother intervenes with SWC, and SWCs the 5-year-old away from the 10-year-old without talking. Done. But this mother talked. She responded to the 10-year-old when the 10-year-old asked her to do something about the nose picking. She responded by telling the 10-year-old that she knows she's mature enough to handle this and knows what to do. But remember this, behaviors don't understand language. So as soon as the sentence were delivered in language, the 10-year-old did what she wasn't supposed to do. Pink elephant. Because language is a reinforcer. So that's not called ignoring. This mother wasn't ignoring. INB means you don't hear the behavior, you don't see the behavior, you don't know the behavior doesn't exist. It didn't happen. Delete. Let the 10-year-old deal with the silence and figure out on her own what to do. And if the situation goes south, well, then you have strategies, you have choices. INB, SWC, or missions. The second scenario that this mother described was almost identical to the first one. She described a young teen on the spectrum who gets enjoyment from bothering his younger siblings. Again, this mother should combine INB and SWC as needed. However, she mentioned, and here are her words, but even when I ignored the behavior, and then later when I would tell him, how would you feel if somebody did that to you? Whoops, that's not ignoring. That's just delayed commenting. There was talking. So once again, ignoring means midas hishtavus. You don't see it. You don't hear it. The child is not going to get anything out of you. And if your other children are in serious distress over this, and by the way, not always are they, siblings are more resilient than you think, then SWC. Okay, so let's review the mistakes related to the questions that I covered during this lecture. Number one, INB never works alone. Be sure to include SWC and balance the two of them according to if the negative behavior is ignorable or not. Number two, never SWC a heavy child or add timeout as a glorified SWC. Always SWC the object or other child from the child who is behaving negatively. Number three, don't choose negative behaviors that need to be eradicated based on your tolerance level or needs. except, of course, when safety is compromised. Number four, don't skip steps or add strategies to the hands-full program. Follow the rules. They will steer you correctly. Number five, ignoring means you don't talk. If you spoke during or soon after a negative moment, you blew it, especially in the beginning of the implementation of this program. Don't try to teach a lesson with words. Don't try to teach a lesson verbally hours after you ignored a behavior. Wait a few weeks. Disconnect from the behaviors. Keep everyone safe, but don't try to teach verbally. You've been trying to teach verbally for years, and where has it landed you? It hasn't worked. So now's the time to try something else. So Hatzlacha Rabbah and continued implementation of the Hands Full program. Keep up the great work.